Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today we are studying Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Like the sparrow in her wandering and like the swallow in her flying, so the curse without a cause does not alight. This scripture gives us a very provocative insight into something that's not often discussed in the Christian church, the issue of curses coming upon people's lives. A curse, it says in Proverbs 26, verse 2, does not alight or come upon a person without a cause. That very simply means if there's a curse operating in your life, if you're seeing the outworking of a curse upon your life, there's a cause or there's a root source for that curse. What exactly is a curse? You could say it's the opposite of a life of blessing. We find that Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that when a person honors their father and their mother, that commandment that was given in the Old Testament is followed by a blessing. And the blessing was, your life shall go well for you and you'll live long on the earth. So you could say the promised blessing was a life going well for a person and long life being that blessing also. The curse or a curse is simply the opposite of this. Your life does not go well for you, and many people's lives are cut down prematurely. The curse in general, the curse of the law as it's referred to in Galatians chapter 3, is enunciated in detail in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. And the curse of the law simply meant that all the negative things that will come upon a person's life as a result of disobeying the laws of God or being disobedient to God, violating God's principles and His standards of holiness in life. And in Deuteronomy 27, there were specific things that brought a curse upon a person's life. There were curses for the person who made an image or an idol or worshiped a false religious idol. There was a curse for the person who dishonored his parents. There was a curse for a person who moved his neighbor's boundary mark, or you could say cheated his neighbor with regard to land and property. There was a curse upon a person who oppressed or did wicked things to weak people, whether they were the blind or an orphan or a widow or an alien, or you could say a foreigner in the land. There was a curse listed for various types of sexual immorality and perversion. Curses came with those specific wicked acts. Those types of activities or violations of God's law opened the door in that person's life to a curse coming upon their personal life. And the curse would look like the description in the latter part of Deuteronomy 28. You could summarize it by saying that the curse would result in unfruitfulness in the person's personal life, in their reproductive life, which means like barrenness in a woman. She couldn't bear children. The curse would bring on mental or emotional problems. It would bring on physical illness, sickness, affliction, torment of physical nature of many different kinds are described in the latter part of Deuteronomy 28. There was the breakdown of the family. There's poverty, financial poverty. There was defeat to the enemy. There was all kinds of oppression and failure, and there was the complete lack of the favor of God. If your life is currently reflecting any of those things, a consistent pattern of failure or tragedy, perhaps suicide runs in your family, or mental illness, or a specific train of physical ailments or illness. This could potentially be a result of some sort of curse operating in your family or your personal life. But how can that occur in the life of a believer when Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? And the curse of the law were those very things I just described to you in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Let me propose this to you, since Proverbs 26:2 tells us that a curse does not come on a person without there being a cause. Satan, who is referred to as our adversary, the devil, is most certainly a legalist. And when I say that, I simply mean that he searches the laws of God, looking for a loophole where he can bring destruction, tragedy, and defeat to the life of a believer, as well as to the lives of unbelievers. But with a believer, he has to find legal ground where he can gain access to this protected life of one who loves and serves God. How can he gain access to a Christian's life? Well, the Apostle Paul warns us that we should not give the devil a foothold. And I simply want to make this observation. Paul the Apostle warned the Christian church, the believers, that they should not give the devil a foothold. Certainly, there must be a way that they could give it or they could withhold it. I like to refer to this foothold as a landing pad or a runway or an airstrip where we give Satan legal right to land in our life in some way. Some of the ways that Satan is given legal access have to do with these violations of God's principles in the life of someone who loves God, and yet they still make a willful decision to violate God's principles. One of the most common that I've observed in Christians who seem to be unaware of the impact or the importance to God of this principle is the one where it says, "Cursed shall the person be who dishonors mother or father," Deuteronomy 27:16. Other ways that Satan will gain a foothold and be allowed to bring a curse into the person's life is by convincing a person to unwittingly agree to have some sort of an image or an idol in their home. Now, that may seem ridiculous to the modern-day believer, but the reality is that I have been in the homes of many born-again Christians who have artwork in their homes that are from countries that worship idols, and they look at it as simply art, but the reality is that it's a representation of something that another culture perhaps worships as a god or some sort of idol or image. These sorts of unwitting agreements with the enemy of your soul will open the door in your life to the very thing we do not want, which is a curse, because it's very clear in Scripture, cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. Well, you may have set up something not intending to personally worship it, and yet it is a representation of something that is worshiped as a false god or a false image or some sort of religious idol. Just your partaking in that can open the door to Satan to have a legal right to harass, torment, or bring a curse into your life. We don't want to be in agreement with Satan in any area, knowingly or unknowingly, in our lives, because the scriptural principles operate whether we are aware of them or not. And the Lord has laid out very clearly certain things that will bring a curse on a person's life. Another common open door for a curse to operate in and through your life, in your family's life, is the agreement with immorality or sexual perversion. You may say, well, I'm not involved in immorality or sexual perversion. I'm married and faithful to my spouse. But let me suggest this to you. Since there is such a strong wording of how a curse comes on a person who gets involved in sexual immorality, listed in Deuteronomy 27, the very opening of your life up to those types of activities through observing it on a video, television, or reading about it in a book or magazine is your willful agreement with that activity, whether you acknowledge it or not. Don't come into agreement with Satan's domain or his kingdom by participating in sexual immorality, even visually. A curse can indeed come into your life through that violation of Scripture. There are many other ways that a curse comes into a person's life, but they are always related to a violation of the Word of God, whether we realize it or we do not realize it. And yet the Word of God gives us the answer to every one of them, and God's precious gift of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us can and will release you from the curse of the law once you've repented for coming into agreement with it and renounced it and removed it from your life and accepted Jesus' sacrifice and his death as substitute for your sin. But if you feel as if a curse has been somehow working in your family, working in your life, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the source of it, because Proverbs 26:2 is very clear. A curse without a cause does not come upon a person's life. God will show it to you, and if you'll repent of it, renounce it, and replace that curse with the promised blessing of the Word of God through Jesus Christ, God will release you from that thing working in your life. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.